Morning. Welcome to Robarton Methodist Church this morning. A special welcome to those who are new to us today, because I've seen a few new faces in the congregation. Please join us for a cup of tea or coffee after the service, and let us get to know you, and you can get to know us. The tea and coffee is in the hall next door. Special welcome to Tony Cox, who's come to lead us in worship and to preach God's word to us this morning. It's always nice to have you with us, Tony. And Tony's looking after us for the next 3 months whilst Deborah's on sabbatical, so we will see a little bit more of him. Just one thing I want to remind you all of is Middlezoy on the 25th of January at 12 noon are having their soup and puds lunch at the chapel, and all are welcome. So that's the 25th of January at 12 noon. Can we just have a few moments of silence to prepare ourselves to come before our Lord?
I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's lovely to be here with you. I hope it all goes right. I've struggled with this all week. Because you see, normally on this Sunday, you have the baptism of Jesus. And it's in the readings, the baptism of Jesus. But I'm afraid every time I went to the baptism of Jesus, I kept thinking of the Old Testament reading that we've got. So I'm doing the Old Testament reading, so you could be here for some time. While I was struggling with the address, it reminded me of a story I heard years and years ago about a minister who was preparing his sermon, and he just really couldn't get it. He sat there and he struggled this and he struggled that and he changed this and he changed that. He just could not concentrate because he had a five-year-old next to him playing. You know, they don't play quietly. And I've never known a youngster of that age actually be able to talk at anything less than top volume. And the more he tried to concentrate, the louder this lad got. So he thought, well, I'll keep him occupied. So he had this great big map. And he said, I'll tell you what, he said, let's tear this map up and I want you to go and I want you to put it together. And he thought to himself, that'll keep him occupied for at least an hour. So the lad took the bits of the map off. 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
He was back. And it was... The dad looked at it, he said, this is perfect, you've got everything right. How on earth did you do this? Oh, it was easy, Dad. He said, there was a picture of a man on the back, and I thought, if I got the man right, the world would be straight. And the minister thought, there's my sermon. And that's what happened with me this week. I'm looking at the Old Testament, and I'm thinking... If we can get the man right, the world will be straight. And I don't know about you, but I look at the world sometimes and I despair. We're going to sing. I put one in about Jesus getting baptized because I thought, I've got to do that. So we're going to sing, When Jesus Came to Jordan, and it's number, whatever it is in the hymn book, number 233, if you're following a hymn book.
Jesus,
be seated. So let's come before God and give him our sins. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we come to you on this glorious Sunday, a Sunday when you have called us together as your children, as your family, as your people. You bring us together, Lord, as your witnesses in a world of evil and sin. And yet, Lord, there is goodness, there is kindness, there is love. We come to you in a world of hunger, and yet, Lord, there is plenty, there is enough for all. Forgive us, Lord, that it is our greed, our selfishness, our pride that causes many of the problems. Forgive us, Lord, that if people disagree with us, then they're automatically wrong. Help us to be more like Jesus. Help us to truly follow our Master. Help us to really be citizens of your kingdom, following you as our King, our Saviour, our Lord. Forgive us, Lord, that at this time of year, when all are making New Year's resolutions, that our resolution will be that we will follow you more nearly, love you more dearly, day by day. And even if we break our resolution, help us to put it back together again. For we ask this and all our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Saviour, and our Redeemer. Amen. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear then the words of grace and pardon. You who truly repent of all your sins are forgiven you. Thanks be to God. Amen. The notices for this week are as printed in your notice sheets. As I say every time I come, they're not just for your information. What goes on in these notice sheets is the outreach of Robarton, our work for Jesus. And I always say, put it on the fridge door. Because if you're like me, it's the one door that gets opened more than once in a day. And it can remind you of the things that we're doing to include in your prayers. So do remember us all in your prayers, and remember our outreach. And the stewards will now wait on you for your offering for the work of God. Thank you. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we bring these gifts, tokens of our love, tokens of our willingness to follow you. Bless these gifts, but more, Lord, bless us. Give us wisdom that we may use these gifts wisely to build your kingdom here in this place. Amen. We are going to sing again, and this time, if you're using the hymn book, we're going to sing hymn number 662. Have you heard God's voice? Has your heart been stirred? We're going to have our Old Testament reading from the book of Isaiah, and I hope, no pressure, I hope when it's read, you can see why this kept on my mind all week.
Make sure I've got the right one. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Amen.
Thank you very much. I've given you as a light to the Gentiles, a light to the non-believers. What a thought, eh? Merlin preached last week about the light of the world, Epiphany. And here we are to reflect that light into a dark world. We keep thinking of that as we sing our next hymn, which is a really nice hymn, number 330, if you're following it in the hymn book. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Lesson taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew.
At that time, Jesus arrived from Galilee and came to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to make him change his mind. I ought to be baptized by you, John said, and yet you have come to me. But Jesus answered him, let it be so for now, for in the way we shall all that God requires. So John agreed. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. The heaven was opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and lighting on him. Then a voice said from heaven, this is my own dear Son with whom I am pleased. Amen.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Saviour and our Redeemer. Amen. That reading from Matthew's, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased, took me back to the peace from Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. The first thing I was thinking about this week is, what on earth is justice? Anybody got any ideas what justice is? For a lot of us, when we look at court cases, it's not justice we're looking for, it's revenge. Oh, you know, he ought to. We'd still be dragging out fingernails and burning each other with hot irons if it was down to some people. So what is this justice that this Jesus is going to bring to us? Ask yourself, is it justice that the things you have done wrong, let's bring it personal, shall we, the things I have done wrong, Jesus should take upon himself and die for? Is that justice? Be honest with yourself. Is it really justice? Justice. Well, to be quite honest, I don't think it is. Why should I do all these things and somebody else take the blame for it? Is that justice? But then on the other hand, we're told to be like Jesus. Are you really willing to stand in for somebody else that is failing? I had a friend who had the unfortunate thing of suffering from depression. I don't think I've ever had anything like that, so I can't say what it's like. But for him it was a struggle. And he said, I don't know what to do. He was a minister. I don't know what to do. Everybody says to me, pray about it. He says, what do they think I'm doing? Then they say to him, pull yourself together. He said, if I could do that, I would. We have these wonderful things that are not justice. It's got to be the way we think. I don't want to get political, but look at politicians today. The way they are, and I'm not talking about any particular party, and I'm not talking just about this country. Look at politicians. If you don't agree with me, you are wrong. And no longer do we talk about the things that need to be done. What do? We take the person, call them names, and tear them to pieces. You would think we were 5-year-olds in a school playground. justice. Many people today, they call themselves Christians. Why? Well, I go to church, therefore I am a Christian. Well, the devil can do that. Some, I hate to say it, I've been in some church councils and I'm sure he's been sat in there. Actually, the circuit meeting was worse than the church council. Some people say they're Christians because they listen to the word of God. I like to hear good sermons, therefore I'm a Christian. No, you just like to be entertained sometimes. Some people say they're Christians because they read their Bible every day. Well, let me let you into a secret. If you look, and we'll come to it later on in the next few weeks, the temptations of Jesus. Good reading. I urge you to go and read it. Why? Because when the devil tempts Jesus, what does he do? He quotes scripture. So he obviously knows it better than we do. Some people say they're Christians because they often stand up and preach the word. That makes them a Christian. No, it doesn't. I used to go and visit, I think I might have told you this before, I used to go and visit an elderly Catholic priest who had had a stroke. He was a lovely old chap. And we used to have Bible studies together. And he said to me, "I like to borrow your Bible." I said, "Oh yes, why?" He said, "The notes you've written in the margins, the things you've underlined, the things you've highlighted," he said, "I think they're terrific." I said, "Oh well, thank you." He said, "Tell me, you do read the bits you haven't underlined and highlighted." It's so easy to have our own pet piece in the Bible. I remember going to a church once, I won't say which one it was, it's not here. And I went home and I said to Elaine, I said, "Do you know, if they took 'God so loved the world' out of the Bible, that church would have nothing to preach on. Because I don't seem to look at anything else." To be a Christian, it doesn't take those things. "This is my son with whom I'm well pleased." Listen to him. It's following Jesus, walking in his footsteps, being like him, bringing forth justice that makes us Christians. We often shut our eyes to the fact that what is read and heard in church must be lived out in the marketplace. Otherwise, there's no point in hearing it, is there? We used to get that thing all many years ago, I'm sure you've all heard it. If a tree fell down on the moon, would it make a noise? Well, I used to get out of that one by saying there are no trees on the moon. But if you had a satellite or something crash onto the moon, would it make a noise? It's in a vacuum. Noise doesn't travel in a vacuum. Would it make a noise? And the answer to that is it doesn't matter, there's nobody there to hear it. And I have to admit, sometimes I've preached sermons and I thought, there's nobody here to hear it. Because one of the things we should do is to take the word of God, plant it within our lives and live it. That's the hardest bit. We must take God's word. We must follow God's son. There used to be an advert many years ago. Anybody remember it? "Would you give away your last Rolo?" Yes. Remember that one? Very difficult question to answer. I'll ask you an even harder one. Would you give away the whole packet? Those are people who don't like chocolate. Yeah. was amongst the ordinary people at Jesus' time that his words were accepted. The people who thought they were the intellectuals, the people who thought they knew better, really didn't listen. Why didn't they listen? Because he was taking people away from them. He was pointing the way. I was going to bring an illustration with signposts, and I didn't, because it didn't fit in the end. But Jesus is the signpost, showing us the way, telling us where we should be and what we should be doing. So are we to believe that the rich and powerful are going to be left out? Because that's what Jesus said. The meek, the poor, will inherit the earth. It was Abraham Lincoln, I think. It's way back. If anybody here knows better, you may tell me and correct me. It was Abraham Lincoln who said, God must love the common people because he made so many of them. And I have to admit, if Jesus doesn't accept the rich and the people who are comfortable, then that's inverted snobbery. I had a church which was in the grounds of a grand home. They were relatives of Her Majesty that lived there. And I have to admit, for my first 3 months there, the big house, as it was known, never came. It was a shared church between us and the Anglicans. And one day they were talking about it, and the church warden said to them, you ain't give the bloke a chance, have you? You ought to come and listen to him. Then make a decision. Don't judge because of who or what you think he is, which is what we all do, isn't it? So they turned up, and when I arrived at church, they said to me, the big house is here. All of them, including the Dowager Duchess. And I went in, and there were the first two rows. Because you knew that was theirs, because the kneelers were this high, but everybody else's was that high. And they were all sat there. And I thought, what am I going to do? Because I'd done my sermon, the title of which was The Right Use of Money. So I thought, well, this is what the Lord's given you, fire it off. So I did. And the Dowager Duchess said to me, that was wonderful. So all the others had to say, that was wonderful. I don't know whether it was or not. I think they judged their sermons by the length and not by the content. It's not the rich and the powerful that are questioned. Jesus never questioned them. What it was what they did with their money and their power that was questioned. Now, we don't put ourselves, anybody here put themselves in the rich and powerful stakes before I go in and put my foot right in it? Anybody here rich and powerful? Well, you've got a house to live in, which is more than a lot of people. You've got decent clothes on your back, which is more than a lot of people. You've got food, I assume you've had food. We all look as though we're well fed, which is more than a lot of people. And to be honest, if you go to some places, if you say jump, they'll say how high. We are part of the rich of this world. If you cover the whole world, if you can read, if you can add up, if you can write, you're part of the intellectuals of this world. And we should be ready to share. That's what bringing justice is. Don't you think everybody deserves to have a home? Don't you think everybody deserves to have clothes? Don't you think everybody deserves to have something to eat? Yes, we do. Don't you think everybody deserves to live in peace? Yes, they do. I'm trying to remember who said, I might have written it down here, hold on. No, I didn't put it down because I couldn't remember it. I just had the quotation written down. It is in the soil of ignorance that poverty is planted. It is in the soil of ignorance that disease flourishes. It is in the soil of ignorance that racial and religious strife takes root. So how can we help to bring forth justice to the nations? And that includes our own country. I talked to somebody about beggars on the street and I was told it's their own fault. I was told by somebody very important in this town that there are no homeless people in this town. I must admit I was a little shocked there when she told me they all have BMWs, and I said, well, why don't they sleep in them instead of in a doorway? Let's be honest. It's very easy to walk past. It's very easy to be a Pharisee. It's very hard to be the Samaritan because you have to give of yourself. Sacrifice and service. That's what brings justice. This has to be outside as well as inside the church. It's no good you get these people who get excited and wave their arms in the air and shout hallelujah and Jesus, and I've been known to do all of that. It's no good if it's only an outside thing. It's got to be from here, within here. It's got to be seen in our actions as well as our words. And we have to love and praise God in every aspect of our lives. So, let's go back to justice. Just a quick look at the person alongside you. I know we don't do that in the Methodist Church for real, but just have a quick look at the person alongside you. Make it a surreptitious glance. They don't have to know you look at it. But go on, just have a quick look and make a note who's in front of you. Now, let me ask a question. In church, what do you expect of them? What are we expecting of the other person? Now comes the hard one. What do you think they are expecting of you? This is the thing. If you think Jesus had 12 disciples and look how they changed the world. Now, my maths isn't brilliant. I was never that good at school with mathematics. But there are more than 12 of us here today. Forget the world. What about Taunton? Perhaps we can do something to change it. As it says in our reading, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeons, and from the prisons those who sit in darkness. And when he says open the eyes that are blind, he's not just talking about blind, he's talking about people who are spiritually blind, morally blind, and all those other things that they don't see. And we are called to open their eyes to the injustices in this world. Well, I think that last quote speaks volumes to any of us who are willing to listen to them. Amen. Now our next hymn, for me, has a lot. 546, if you've got it in your hymn book. What I like about it is it's not just the words, it speaks about ourselves. But listen to the music. I think music sometimes takes us near the Lord. It's a piece written by Mozart. And it's a lovely piece of music. I'm giving Chris a chance to show us his concert pianist touch as we sing, "Behold the servant of the Lord, I wait thy guiding eye to feel." Come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bring the problems of our world to you. We think, Lord, of the people and the animals in Australia who are being ravaged by fire. We think of the people of the Philippines and the animals of the Philippines who have been ravaged by floods. We think of the people and the animals in the Middle East who are being ravaged by war. And we think of the people and the animals in the wealthier countries of Europe who are ignored. We bring our world to you, Lord, knowing that you expect us to be there for you, your voice, your hands, your feet, your presence. And Lord, we know that to truly give, we need to give of ourselves and not just of our wealth. So we pray, Lord, that your justice, your love, your care, the freedom that was bought on the cross, we should share. Father, we think of our town here, in our country, a country and a town that we love. We look at the beauty around us and we feel privileged. As we feel this privilege, Lord, as we feel the joy of all that surrounds us, help us to be willing to share that others may know that glory. We think of our families, our friends, our church. May we be the ones that they can turn to for support, for encouragement, for justice. And we think of ourselves, Lord. You called us. You filled us with your Spirit. You saved us. We belong to you. And for that, Lord, we lift up our hearts. We fail, and you forgive us. We stumble, and you pick us up. We, Lord, get lost and you find us. Help us to do the same for the world around us. So, Father, we remember our shortcomings, but we also remember the wonders that you have given us. The people we've become because of you. We remember, Lord, the day you called us, the time you laid your hand upon us, the days you've blessed us, the many times you bless us in each day. And we ask, Lord, that we will take that blessing that you give us. May and use it to bring forth justice in the community around us. For we ask this in all our prayers, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, you may not have noticed, but today was all-age worship, or supposed to be, and I'm afraid I thought I had too many important things to say to make it all-age worship. But, I didn't forget the surprise bag. So, anybody want anything from the surprise bag before I get it out? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. As I said, I used to say I bought it for the children. But we're all children of God. So I'm going to ask my mate here if one of them would like to take the bag around the church. And if you'd like something out of the surprise bag, do help yourself. Now, somebody says I'm bribing them to come. I actually got the idea from a Jewish person who wrote, I'm desperately trying to remember, my wife will remember it, it's a book we read. And in this book they say that they give the young people and others at the ceremony, at the service, at the learning in the school, a spoon of honey. And it's to remind them that the law of God is sweet. So, who's going to do the delivery for me? We'll start off with your little skin and blister. Let her have a dip, and then take it round to anybody else. Any of you would like a chocolate or a sweet, do help yourself. Nobody's going to look at you and say, well, you shouldn't be having any. Because here, we are all children of God. And I don't want to put you off, ladies, but remember, a minute in the mouth is a month on the hips. Right. Because the good bit here is if you pick out a toffee and we're singing the next hymn. There shouldn't be any toffees in there, I don't think. Anyway, we're going to sing our last hymn today, which if you're using a hymn book, it's 764. 764. We believe in God the Father, God Almighty, by whose plan. And this actually, if you think about it as you sing it, is the creed. going round. Yeah. Did you take 2-1 for? Yeah. I promised her that you would take one home for her. Can't leave Maisie out, can we? Have we covered everybody yet? No? Oh, very good. Oh. Oh, dear. Right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we pray for those whose memories and thoughts and prayers are required and have been written and put in this bowl. We also pray today, Lord, for Deborah, who's leaving Taunton at 1:30 today to go to India to share the word and the love of justice. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. And shall we bless each other with the grace? And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.